You had something to share there, Jim. I was going to call on you anyway. So. That's right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before your presence right now, Lord. I ask you to have your way. And I ask you to take this little word that you've given here today and just cause it to just settle into people's hearts and help them to just see what you would have them do. And just let them move and begin to fulfill your will in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. First scripture I'm going to read to you. I think Jim might have read this last week in his sermon. And Jim's sermon last week was very good. I thought it was excellent. And anybody didn't hear it, you ought to listen to it because it was very good. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, first thing I want to say to you there is if your burden doesn't seem light, then something's wrong. If your burden seems heavier than what you think you can bear, then it's because you're trying to carry it too much. You need to start giving it to him. Because if you don't, it'll weigh you down. It'll wear you out. And, you know, Scripture said I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And, you know, we will faint if we're not careful, if we don't believe to see the goodness of the Lord in all situations and in all circumstances. We must be willing to move from the things of the past. And today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as Israel did, and they did not enter into his rest. And you know, I don't know about you all, but I want to get to the point where I'm at rest all the time in God. Because that's a wonderful place to be. I don't know about you all, but after I work all day, I like to come home and get in the old lounge chair and kick the thing up and just sit there and rest for a little while. But you know what? In God, I think we need to get in the lounge chair of him and just rest all the time. And just do that which he tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, and how he tells us to do it. And so many times we're so worried about what's God's calling on us? What's he want us to do? What's my ministry? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I not supposed to be doing? And you know, I think we could break all this down into a real simple place if we would just learn to relax in him. You know, God wants us to relax in his presence and to spend time with him, which will cause us to change and it'll bring a change in our lives. You know, years ago the Lord gave me a poem about time, and I've shared it in years past, but it's been a long time since I shared it. And I'm going to read you that poem. And I think this fits with all of us, so we'll really listen to what the words say. And the name of the poem is just called Time. It says, "I don't have time to read and to pray. I don't have time to listen to what you say. I don't have time when there's needy in heart. I don't have time when you would have me impart. I don't have time when it's a giving of me. I don't have time. What else could it be? I only have time for money to make. I only have time when it's for my own sake. I only have time for sports and for fun. I only have time to play in the sun. I only have time for family and friends. I only have time when it's for my own ends. For time is the most valuable possession we own, and how we use it will show who's on the throne. Is it self sitting in the temple, showing himself to be God? Or is it the Spirit of Christ who in humility is shod? With submission to the Father as his main purpose and goal for the redemption of creation and the saving of the soul. And I got news for you, folks. We need to begin to watch our time, and we need to begin to use our time wisely. And we need to begin to even ask ourselves sometimes, Lord, how am I using my time to the best advantage? And I'm going to tell you, I have to be honest, a lot of times I'm not. And I want to start doing that in this new year. I want to start to turn over a new leaf and use it more profitable for the Lord. And the way you begin to use it more profitable for the Lord is, first of all, spending more time with him. Spending more time sitting in his presence. Spending more time being quiet and still, and letting that still small voice speak within you. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we look out into the future there and we think, oh God, you know, we've received prophecies, and I heard people talking about promises that they've been given in the past and stuff. And you know, a lot of times we look at that and we think, oh, how am I ever going to bring all that to pass on? You know, and we get all worried and fretful and stuff. I got news for you. You don't have to bring anything to pass. All you have to do is today, if you'll hear his voice. Today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about 2 weeks from now. You don't have to worry about what your calling is 6 months from now. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Today, do what he asks you to do today. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think a lot of times, even us Christians, we spend a lot of time worrying about things, you know? And this morning I was taking a look in the Bible, and I was really surprised. I wanted to look up the word worry. And guess what? It's not in there. It's not in there. So why are we doing it? It's not in God's word. The word worry is nowhere in the Bible. I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere. I went through the Old Testament. And I went through the New Testament. And I couldn't find the word worry nowhere. So are you worrying about anything? If you are, quit. Stop doing it. Because it ain't God's word. Quit doing it. You know, I'm going to give you a definition of what this is. Funk and Wagnalls. You know, you've heard people say, put that in your Funkin' Wagnall. I'm going to give you Funkin' Wagnall's definition of the word worry, okay? Worry. To be uneasy in the mind. Feeling, to feel anxious about something, or to fret. Now, there's more of a definition of it than that. But I'm just going to tell you, you need to quit doing that. Quit being anxious in your mind. Quit feeling anxiety. You don't have to feel anxiety. Start trusting in the Lord. Turn over a new leaf this year and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about nothing. Because God, you're in control of everything. I trust you in every situation, in every circumstance. I trust you no matter what's happening. I believe that you working all things to work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Guess what? You're the called according to his purpose. I've preached sermons to you in the last month or two. I've told you that you're God's favorite. Do you believe it? Everybody that thinks they're God's favorite, raise your hand. Raise your hand, everybody. Everybody, raise your hand. Because you are God's favorite. And I also I've also preached some sermons to you about who and what you are in Christ. And I want you to know that you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Just about the time that you feel like that you can't do something, that's when God can use you the most. Because you know what? You ain't getting puffed up and thinking, well, bless God, I got this ability and I can do this and I can do that. But I want to tell you, you don't have to worry about anything. You know, I've shared that poem different times about struggle. And you know, God gave me that poem right in the midst of everything seeming to get in a place of turmoil with me, and everything was just not working the way it should have been working, and things were really a mess, and we were about ready to buy our house, our first house. Had lived in the house for years, never had a bit of problems with any of the plumbing or anything, and all the plumbing started backing up in the basement right when we get ready to buy the place. And I'm thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? I don't have the money to get a plumber out here because I need all the money I can get for closing. And God had already showed himself mighty in the way that he dealt with me and Margaret when we were getting ready to buy this house. We had had a brother come to us before any of this happened, before we even got ready to buy the house. This brother had given us a prophetic word, and he said, God's going to bless you guys. He's going to give you a real good blessing, you know. And our landlord died. We lived in that house, and we had always told him that we'd like to buy it. And here I thought, this has been a lot of years ago, I thought maybe I could buy that house for about $18,000 or so, because that's what I thought it might be worth, because it was a little house. And when I talked to the landlady, they wanted $34,000 for the house. So for me, that was a big stretch for back then, a big, big stretch. Well, you know what? That was back during the time of inflation, when inflation was running at over 12%. And it was running around 12%. And as I got ready to go and try to get my financing, the interest rates started going up. They went up from about 12% to 17.75%. And there was no way in the world that I could afford that house at 17.75%. I just couldn't. And I can remember all of us sitting around the table. Mark was a little boy, and Jennifer was little. And them crying and saying, Dad, we don't want to go have to go to another school and all this and that. And I just said, well, let's pray about it. And we prayed. I said, Lord, whatever your will is, it's fine, whatever you do. So what happens? I have a couple hundred dollars in the bank, and that's all I had at that point. And what happens? Right away, somebody calls me up and wants to borrow some money. Could I borrow $200-something? And they first asked Margaret, because they always go to Margaret first, because they know she's an easy touch. They go to her first, and she says, "Well, I'll have to talk to him. You'll have to talk to him." And I talked to them on the phone, and they said that they needed to borrow $200. And I'm thinking, man, that's about all I've got. And I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And I felt like the Lord said, give it to him. So I said, okay. I called him back, and I said, well, I said, yeah, you can take the money. I didn't really tell him they could borrow it. I really kind of gave it to him. And then I started collecting a little bit more money. And as I collected a little bit more money, I got up to where I had about $500 in the bank. And I was all of a sudden getting the ability to save money, where before I couldn't save any money. It just seemed like everything was happening, and Mark was seemed like he was wearing out a pair of gym shoes every 2 weeks or something or whatever. You know how that goes with kids. And anyway, he wasn't like kids today. He didn't sit in the house and play with video games. He was out running, playing basketball, jumping and running around, running up and down the street and all that stuff, and doing something every day, playing baseball, doing something. And he'd wear out gym shoes just about every time you turn around. He'd have a pair of gym shoes wore out. But anyway, so I got about $500 or so. I get another call from another person. Can I borrow $400? And I said, well, let me pray about it. I went and I prayed about it. I said, Lord, this is going in the wrong direction, Lord. And I felt like the Lord said, give it to him. And I gave it to him. So all of a sudden, I'm going down, down, down. So to stall a little bit, I guess the Lord gave me this to say to the people. I said, well, you know, I'm going to see if I can go FHA because the interest rates are a little lower. And really what I was doing is stalling for time. And, you know, when you do FHA, you got to have inspections and stuff. And this is before the basement backed up now. Everything was okay. So it took them a while to get the inspectors out there. So it gave me a few months there. Well, I had a motorcycle back then, so I sold my motorcycle. And I had had that motorcycle for 5 years. And I paid about $1,100 for it when I bought it brand new. And I had it for 5 years. And I got ready to sell it. And I sold it for $1,050-something. Now, I keep something for 5 years and sell it for as much as you paid for it. You know, it's not, that don't usually happen. And it was nothing fantastic motorcycle. It was a nice little motorcycle, but it was a smaller motorcycle. Well, all of a sudden, I had $1,000. Well, then, next thing you know, what happened is that the money started coming back from the people that I had loaned money to. And my money started increasing. I got up, where I was at $1,400, $1,500, and I saved a little bit of money. Next thing you know, I had a couple $1,000s. Then I had a person call me up and say, we didn't tell anybody we had any need or that we needed any money. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you go start telling people that you need something, you cut yourself off from seeing God move miraculously because then you're not sure if it's because they knew or what happened. And I had this person call me up and they said, hey, I hear you guys are trying to buy a house. And I said, yeah. Said, can I loan you $5,000? And I said, well, you know, I don't like to borrow money, you know. And, well, I'll loan you $5,000 for 5 years, and you can pay it back any way you want in a five-year span. That's a good deal. If you ever get that deal, take it. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal. No bank will give you that. Most people will never give you that. And you know what? I prayed about it, and I felt like, well, okay, I'd do that. And I told him, okay. So I had $5,000. So I had about $7,000 or $8,000. Well, then all of a sudden, like I said, I started getting the ability to save money, which I couldn't hardly save no money before that. And all of a sudden, I could save money. Then I had somebody call up, and they wanted to give me about $3,000. And they gave me $3,000. Well, I went from having 200 to nothing, or, you know, a couple hundred to nothing, to about 500 to about 100, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting to get all this money together. And by the time I got ready to close, I think I had about $11,000. And that was just in a few months' time. And, you know, another thing that started happening at that time was that all of a sudden the interest rates started coming down. And they were 17, about 17 and a quarter or 17 and a half. It was ridiculous what it was. This was back during the Carter years, I guess it was, which the interest rates got crazy. And anyway, they started coming down. So I'm still stalling the bank around, stalling the owner around a little bit, trying to see what happened. It came all the way back down to 12%. Well, I could afford to make that payment at 12%. It was a stretch, but I could afford to make it. Because my rent was like $150. My house payment was going to be $305. So it was like twice as much as what my rent was renting the house. So I've got this money now, and I went back to a conventional loan. Because I got away from that FHA loan, see, because that was kind of a stall tactic, really. But anyway, it ended up where it came back down. Well, we were invited to come up to camp, and we had never went to camp at that time. And it was the first time we was ever invited to go up there. And the Lord had started giving me a poem about struggle, you know, one about struggle. And I basically had not shared any of the previous poems that the Lord had given me because I was kind of bashful and backward, you know, a little bit. And he started giving me that, why do you struggle and why do you fret? And then he stopped. And usually the way the Lord gives me a poem, when he gives it to me, it starts coming. And man, I got to write it down right away or it's gone. You know, and I don't know if the rest of y'all are like that or not, but that's the way it is with me. So I'd written down the first few words, and then it just cut off. And I'm standing at work, and I'm saying, Lord, why did this poem cut off? And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, son, when I give you stuff, you're not sharing it. I'm not going to give you any more if you don't share it. And I mean, I felt that so stupid. Him speak that into my heart so strong. And I stood there and I said, okay, Lord, then I'll share. And after I prayed that, I wrote the rest of that poem in just a few minutes. It just came, you know. And those poems are prophetic. A lot of those poems are prophetic. They're a prophetic word is what they really are. They're not a poem, really. They're really a prophetic word if you'll hear the words of them. And I wrote the rest of that poem. Well, we went to camp. And we were going to go to camp. And right before we got ready to go to camp, which we were going to be gone, that's when all that plumbing started backing up in the basement. And I mean, it wasn't a little. It was a lot. I had stuff about that deep in my basement. I mean, all over the whole basement. And it was horrible. And I first went down there, and I didn't have any access valves in my plumbing. I tried to clean it out myself by getting a rooter thing and doing it myself. And everything I did made it get worse. It got worse. And then I called Rescue Rooter or Rotor Rooter or somebody and had them come out. They poured acid in the pipes and did some stuff. And it got worse. And finally, I thought, God, I got to do something. You know, we went on to camp, and I think it was still messed up when we went to camp. And so I get up to camp, and Kathy Warren comes over to me, and she says, Brother Oscar, we're having a sharing night tonight. She says, can you share something? I said, no, Kathy. I mean, you know, I said, no, Kathy. And I walked away. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you can. And I had to go back and tell Kathy. I said, well, Kathy, yeah, I can share something. And you have to realize, a lot of you folks that haven't known me for a lot of years, I was a very backward type person. Because when I was a kid, I had epilepsy, you know, for a few years there from the time I was 9 till I was 12. And I had some seizures in public. And I did not want to get in big public situations. I did not want to get up in front of people. I didn't like that because I felt very, very uncomfortable. Guess what? God gets you out of your comfort zone. He gets you out. Expect him to get you out of your comfort zone. He's going to do it. If you go on and follow on with him, he's going to get you in places where you feel very, very uncomfortable. But you know what? He'll comfort you right in that place. He'll meet you right in that place. And I stood up that night and I shared that poem about struggle. And I went back home and you know, and I'd go down the steps and we were still fighting around trying to get that cleaned out. And I was supposed to close on that house and we went back home and I'd walk down the steps. And I'd feel like I was just going to cry because I thought, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I need this money for closing and everything. And the Lord would bring that poem to me. And it would be, why do you struggle? Why do you fret? When all you accomplish is to get upset. When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And boy, he'd run that poem through my head. And then I'd go up the stairs laughing, you know. And I'd come back later on and look at it, feel like I was going to cry again. And he'd give me the poem again. And he worked me over with that poem a little bit. And then finally I broke down and I called a plumber. An actual plumber. The guy came in there and he looked at everything and he says, I'm going over to that corner over there. And he went over and knocked a hole in the pipe. And I hadn't even been nowhere near that corner. And he stuck that thing down in there. And he started rooting around. Next thing you know, everything started going down. Cleaned up the bottom. He told me, he says, man, he says, this is unusual. He says, you know, he says, most houses have like a 4-inch pipe going through their basement. He said, man, you got a huge pipe. He said, I could roll softballs through that pipe all day, and they'd just keep rolling on down through there. You know? But guess what? I never would have learned some of the things I learned had God not let that get clogged up. Had God not let that get stopped up. I never had any more plumbing problems after that. And he did put in an access thing where you could go down and drain it, you know, or go down and root it or whatever. But so many times, right where you're at, right in the situation where you're at, and you think, oh, God, how can anything get any worse than what it is now? I'm telling you, folks, if you'll just acknowledge him, if you'll just praise him, you'll just look to him, all of a sudden you'll find that you'll learn some tremendous truth about the Lord. And that truth will be, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nothing can touch you, son, because you're in the palm of my hand. I've got you right where I want you. You know, none of this stuff happened by chance. None of this stuff happened, because you were mean or because you did something bad. I just wanted to teach you that I'm your source. I'm right there with you. I'm the one that's going to meet you. Praise God. Jeremiah 29:11-13. I believe Jim read some of these scriptures last week too, and I think we should. These are good scriptures for the whole year. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you know what that expected end is? He wants you to come into the fullness of all that he is. He wants you to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, like it says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Praise God. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. And I remember sister over there, she was quoting that from the piano over there. And praise God. And God's a good coordinator. He coordinates things. You know what I mean? He does. And I'm going to read you John 3:16-33, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. And I love this portion of Scripture out of the Amplified Bible. And I believe it applies to even this message today. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. You mean I got to be of good cheer right in the middle of all that? Oh yeah, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be cheerful. He wants you to be saying, praise God, thank you, Lord. I don't know what this is all about, but I know you do, and I'm glad you do, Lord. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Wow. That's a tremendous, tremendous scripture. And if you got an Amplified Bible, underline all that. And that's taking it a little bit out of the context of where it goes there, because he was talking about all the troubles they were going to have in the world. But I tell you what, in him, there's nothing can touch you. No man can take you out of his hand. No man. And I want you to realize that. Now, praise the Lord, that's all I had to share. And I felt like there was going to be some testimonies here today. I don't know if anybody's got anything they want to say. If you do, I'll bring a microphone out there and let you say it. You know. Okay, I'm going to read you one more thing, and then we'll go back and eat then. This is out of a little book that I picked up, and I just love this. And this is for the first day of this year. It says, "Come unto me with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me in a life of continual newness." You know, his mercies are new every day. Did you know that? "Do not cling to the old ways as you step into the new year. Instead, seek my face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind." Wow. "As you focus your thoughts on me, be aware that I am fully attentive to you. I see you with a steady eye because my attention span is infinite. I know and understand you completely. My thoughts embrace you in everlasting love. I also know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to my presence." Wow, what a tremendous word. Isn't that good? Wow, I love that. I love that. And I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly what God wants us to do in this new year. He wants us to give ourselves to him. You know, I love the old Gaither song, "More of you, more of you. All I ask is more of you." And he goes on, he says in some of that, "I bring all of me and he brings all of him. Sweet communion, I hardly know where he stops and I begin." Oh, God, get us in that place. "Sweet freedom, it's more than just a song. It's been worth it all to know I'm clean within." And you know, Gaither and them don't write them real deep songs anymore. They write a little more fluffier songs nowadays. But I'm going to tell you what, those songs were right from the throne of God. They were right from the throne of God. And I'm going to tell you what, bring all of you and give it to him. And then he'll begin to bring all of him. And boy, you'll get the best end of the deal. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in your presence right now, Lord. We thank you, Father. There's been a lot of prayer requests here today. And Lord, you were mindful of them. You knew they were going to come forth before they ever came forth. And I ask you, Father, to be glorified in the midst of these requests, Lord. Let your perfect will be done in each one of these situations. Father, I thank you for your people out here. I thank you that they're a mighty people. They're a mighty army. They're like Joel's army, Father. They're going to run like mighty men of war. They're going to climb the walls in people's lives. And they're going to begin to set creation free. And God, I just thank you. And let them not draw back. Let them not draw back from what you call them to do each day. Not worrying about the future way out there. But worrying about, not even worrying, period, but taking thought for what you say to them today. Scripture says, today, if you'll hear his voice, today, enter into his rest. And Father, help us to enter into that place of quiet restfulness in you. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything that you do in that name above all names. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you or talk with you or whatever. God bless.